I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. 6:11
and show number 1108. Goodbye, baby. Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio at Cochran Show on Twitter. Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. Yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook did something rather remarkable. He apologized for having, say 50 million Facebook accounts' private data be pilfered, and also said, yeah, maybe you ought to be regulated. So you think about a company the size of Facebook, playing along. Zuckerberg appeared to have gotten it very quickly. But it occurred to me, all of us probably have someone in our lives that we feel owes us an apology.
Oh, good point.
So that's your Facebook. That's your text question of the day. Who owes you an apology and why? Who needs to say they're sorry to you and why?
And this is not a good question for women at all, because we do not hold grudges.
No. Never, never, never.
And we
never,
sure don't want to announce if we do.
Never, 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 never.
Oh, I will.
It's not like you remember the fifth grader that was mean to you.
It's early in
the You guys being sarcastic, right?
Oh, a little bit. A little bit. A little bit.
I remember the boy I liked in eighth grade, and my friend said she knew him, and she could, introduce us and get us together to go to the spring fling.
You're trying to get my head to explode at 6:12?
Yeah. And then I saw her making out with him on the side of the school.
Oh, the slut.
Oh, man.
A little tramp.
We don't hold grudges.
Who owes you an apology and why? 312-981-7200.
Could this be like the guy who was flashing his lights at me in the left lane on the Edens this morning?
That's who you feel.
I moved over, and then when I moved back, he wouldn't. He just stayed right where he was, sure. Slowed down.
If you want that to be it.
Okay.
Throughout Dave's entire life, that's the only person that owes him an apology.
Yeah,
how about
kidding.
That?
No kidding.
How about that?
A courtesy wave would have been nice.
Hello.
Could it be your college roommate?
It could be anybody you want.
One of them who asked all your friends to be in her wedding except you?
In your case, we're going to have to limit it to 15 or 20.
Andrea.
At 6:30.
I'm just saying hypothetically.
Here's your top six.
In the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. Former police superintendent Gary McCarthy has announced he's running for mayor. This is not exactly shocking. It's been rumored for quite some time now. But made the announcement last night. He's going to run against Rahm Emanuel to fix an economy that fosters inequity, tamp down ever-rising taxes, reverse rampant gun violence that has sullied Chicago's national reputation, and he'll be on the show this morning at 7:40. Again, not a surprise, but it's going to make things quite interesting because the departure of McCarthy from the Rahm Emanuel administration was not pretty.
No, not at all, especially why McCarthy resigned, too.
So, what do you mean? Over the
Laquan McDonald tape.
Did he resign? He was kind of fired.
Yeah, he was kind
of
fired.
He was kind of fired. Yeah.
He was kind of fired.
Quack it. Governor Rauner called J.B. Pritzker a corrupt insider. J.B. Pritzker called Governor Rauner an abject failure. Fellas, it's only been 24 to 48 hours here.
Not even.
Chris Duffy, who does our promotional announcements, had a good idea yesterday. He came to me and he said, Steve, and I said, what? He said, you should do a beer summit.
Oh, like Alexi Janulius did with Mark Kirk?
Well, like that. I remember Obama did it with a couple of folks in Boston.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So when will the restaurant favored by the Chicago Tribune writers downstairs be open again?
It is now officially reopened.
And I'm not talking about Holland Hood.
You're talking about the Billy Goat.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it just opened on St. Patrick's Day.
All right. So if the Billy Goat's open, what if I were to host Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker at a beer summit?
I think that's a great
idea. What time do they start serving beer at the Billy Goat? Do they serve it for breakfast?
I'm sure they do.
Do they ever stop?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they do for breakfast, but you can definitely get cheeps and soda.
And Pepsi. Cheeseburgers.
No Pepsi Coke. Good,
you know, well, they sell breakfast, too.
Yeah, they have great breakfast sandwiches. Breakfast. You know,
well,
you're
great.
Oh, it's good. You know, you're going to have to invite to the summit, though.
Who?
Your brother.
Well,
he's a big Billy Goat fan.
He is a big Billy Goat fan. Yeah. He calls it fancy.
Yeah.
I'm going to, now, the chances they'll both agree, not great, but I will throw the invitation out. Let's see the first organization to respond right now. I will host Governor Rauner and J.B. Pritzker at the Billy Goat. And for those of you listening in the Pritzker and Rauner organizations, please kick it upstairs to the parties involved. And you can call us here and let us know if you're in.
I think it's a great idea.
I think I bet if it's a private event, they'll be able to do beer. If it's not open to the public, I bet you just have like a private
event. Well, private event at the Billy Goat would be like you get a table in the corner, right?
Yeah, but I guess if you're hosting a thing there and it's just, you know, by invitation people come in, I bet you could serve beer this morning.
Do you need me to make a call to Sam Sianis?
You and Sam, you Greeks?
We're tight.
You may need to.
He'll serve beer for you.
I'm just glad to know that Super Joe's got my back.
Yeah.
Quack. See? We have lost population in Chicago for the third straight year. Mm-hmm. So we know that the state of Illinois slipped from fifth, that was sixth, I believe, now in national population. But the Chicago metro population has been, is a lesser number now for the third straight year. That's not a good trend. Next. Congressional negotiators reached a deal for a $1.3 trillion spending bill ahead of a shutdown deadline. That's a lot of money. The argument will continue over who got what and how much they can spend and yada, yada, yada. But the good news is you won't be hearing nonstop shutdown talk through Friday. And Sweet 16 Loyola plays tonight, and Meredith, and I'm guaranteeing a win. Did I mention that?
Yes.
Yeah. And Meredith Corporation confirms it's going to sell Time Magazine, Sports Illustrated Magazine, Fortune, and Money. To move on from the magazine business, which continues to struggle.
Yes.
Magazine business. I used to love to go into magazine stores.
Yeah.
You know, magazine shops.
They're going to lay off 1,000 people over the next year.
No, that's not good. Just walls and walls of magazines. So. Anybody remember the big newsstands on Michigan Avenue for 100 years?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of blocks.
Chicago and Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I get some more lemonade on the porch here? Can I get some more old guy lemonade? But we were talking off the air before the show, the Sports Illustrated football phone.
Oh, yeah.
That you would get with yours. And I just need to come clean now because I borrowed the $5 or $6 or $10 from my mother to order Sports Illustrated for the first time in like 1977, probably. And the reason I wanted Sports Illustrated at 16 was for the first swimsuit issue.
Oh,
of course. But I said it was for the football phone, and I just wanted to confess that.
Yeah,
I just want to get that off my chest. That's been bothering me for years.
Was that Christie Brinkley, Heidi Klum, which
Cheryl Teagues?
Cheryl Teagues, right?
Cheryl Teagues is on the cover. Cheryl Teagues, by the way, who is 109 now.
She looks fabulous.
Oh, she looks fabulous.
They did amazing things with sand.
Yes, they did. The gravity and sand piece was exceptional.
Wow, isn't it?
There's your top six at six, and I'm Steve, and you know who you are, and we're standing by for calls from Rauner and Pritzker on the Beer Summit any minute now. Text question again. Who owes you an apology and why? Yes, Andre, I know there's a couple more. Coming up.
I'll hold it.
Coming up.
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again. What to see, what's out at the show. I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on Gian's Cochrane show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night, DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Let's go to Nick now. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We're talking about Facebook and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg's apology.
Yeah.
And the Mark Zuckerberg apology made me think, okay, well, you know, does somebody owe you an apology? And Andrea has come up with a list of 114 people currently that owe her an apology. I told her you can only do one every few minutes here because the show's only on till 10. So tell Nick and I who else owes you an apology.
Well, I don't have that many. It's just, you know, I can remember my friend from eighth grade who left the first dirty message and said the first dirty word on my parents' answering machine.
And when she was explaining to me this to me off the air, Nick, she spelled the dirty word.
I
pointed out to her, Dave and I have heard them all. You don't need to spell them anymore.
You did. Making my list.
Taylor needs to apologize to you, Nick.
My ex-wives. Anyhow.
All right. Seems fair. And boy, this popped right away. We got a bunch of people who say they are owed an apology. One of my favorites from 312. My no good Uncle Gary. He knows why.
Oh no.
All right, movie reviews. What is Flower?
Flower is a low-budget film starring Zoe Deutsch, who is Leah Thompson's daughter, who's been in a few movies, and she's really terrific. She plays a 17-year-old girl who goes after, Travis Bickle style, goes after a possible pedophile high school teacher played by Adam Scott. I hear great things about this movie, that she's really terrific in it, and it's dark, and it's very funny.
Oh, it's a comedy?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that part coming.
Yeah.
Midnight Sun.
Midnight Sun stars Bella Thorne, who is a former Disney actress. She plays a 17-year-old girl, but it's a second 17-year-old girl movie that's coming out this week. She's been stuck inside the house because she has a life-threatening condition where she has sensitivity to the sunlight. She can't go out in the sun, so she can only go out at night. She's lived with her father, played by Rob Riggle, for years. And she meets a guy played by Patrick Schwarzenegger, who would be Arnold's son.
Oh, really? And, he's old enough to do movies.
Yeah, and he...
This is the son with Maria, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And he woos her, and they fall in love, and then she kind of wants to go out into the sunlight, and we'll see how that goes. And it's sort of a romantic disease of the week kind of movie.
Margaret texts, my ex-village idiot ex-husband owes me an apology for emptying the bank accounts and cheating on me. I think I'm opening up some wounds here, aren't I?
Wow, this is you. I mean, I hope the listeners are laying on a couch right now as they say this stuff to you.
708, my ex-husband for breaking up our 23-year marriage with his very public 2-year of affair with a fellow board member. He's 70, she's in her 40s.
Oh my God. What are you, Bob Newhart? What's going on here?
630, my mom and brother for stealing the inheritance dad intended to leave me.
Good Lord.
This is going to get really nasty.
I need more paper.
What do you mean it's going to get really nasty?
508, God owes me an apology for giving me a face only a mother could love and a father could laugh at.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that line in a while.
So just so the listeners understand, they don't all have to be heartbreaking. they don't all have to be really, really, really terrible. But, you know, whatever. Whoever owes you an apology. 312-981-7200 is the number as Andrea continues to write her list.
Yeah, and you're gonna go with this topic till 10, my friend.
Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah, wacky. It's an animated movie. It's a sequel to Gnomeo and Juliet.
Yeah, great.
And it's about a bunch of garden gnomes who come to life and they have to solve a mystery. So they get Sherlock Gnomes to show up, and it's voiced by Johnny Depp.
Unsane.
Unsane is the latest from Steven Soderbergh about a woman who is committed into a 24-hour behavioral center. They have her stay because she keeps seeing her stalker, and whether that's real or not, they don't know. Claire Foy plays the woman. Juno Temple plays another patient, and Joshua Leonard plays her would-be or would-not-be stalker. It's a Soderbergh movie, but here's the really interesting thing about this movie. One, it's getting great reviews. Two, it looks really scary. Three, shot completely on an iPhone.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen trailers or anything? How it looks visually?
Oh yeah, no, it's it looks fantastic. And I always, you know, Soderbergh is one of the most creative, you know, American filmmakers alive. And if I would trust anybody to shoot a movie on an iPhone, it would be a guy like Steven Soderbergh. And it's supposed to be really scary, and it's supposed to look really cool.
One of the most important jobs in making movies, not surprisingly, is director of photography, a DP. These are cameramen. Is this going to put cameramen out of business?
Well, you know, they actually kind of invented a rig for this that the DP used, and I think Soderbergh shot this movie himself, because a lot of directors are shooting their own movies, you know, more often now. Paul Thomas Anderson shot Phantom Thread, didn't even take credit for it. But yeah, they invented a new rig that he could use while filming with the iPhone, and obviously shooting on 4K.
Is it called a selfie stick?
It's not called a selfie stick. It's a rig that kind of moves. It's not a selfie stick.
Okay.
And obviously using a 4K and using digital and using an iPhone, the budget for this movie was minuscule. So if it makes, you know, just under $10 million, it'll still do fine.
And Pacific Rim Uprising.
That's the sequel to Pacific Rim, with giant robots and giant monsters smashing down buildings and beating the hell out of each other. So it's going to be the greatest movie ever made.
Rocking that one.
Sorry?
The Rock in this one?
No, The Rock is in a movie called Rampage, which comes out in a couple of weeks.
I'm confused because that has monsters and buildings are crushed.
It does. Well, it also has, it was shot here, so you get to see the Marina Tower go down in that movie.
Well, there you go. Who knew it was coming? Little Shop of Horrors, Tuesday, April 3rd. That's Nick's next Film Club screening, featuring an awesome alternate ending. Alternate ending at AMC Rosemont 18. How do we get tickets?
You can go to amctheaters.com, and I have never seen the alternate ending on the big screen.
Oh, okay.
And not many people have, and the alternate ending is so fantastic. But it was dark, and it involved, you know, like all the main characters, I believe, getting killed. And so they made Frank Oz change it, and now he restored it, and it's going to be great. And I love Little Shop of Horrors. It's just such a funny movie.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, got it. You got it.
Really important old guys saying really stupid things publicly and on Twitter. Coming up, plus more of your texts. Who owes you an apology? 312-981-7200. Headlines next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way.
Is this the Flying Horn Frogs? What's the name of this band, Joe?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles?
That's right.
Are they playing Lollapalooza?
I don't think so.
You owe me an apology for playing this.
You owe me an apology for not remembering what the name is.
Who owes you an apology? That is the text question of the day. Andrea, your list is getting quite long. Who else now?
The boy who pushed me in the mud as we were running for the bus in sixth grade. Not going to say his name, Matt Crawford.
All right. Okay. All right. I've limited Andrea to one per break. Mm-hmm. The war of words between the old guys, the really important old guys. Former Vice President Joe Biden said in a speech the other day, a guy who ended up becoming our national leader said, I can grab a woman anywhere. And she likes it. This is a speech at the University of Miami. They asked me if I'd like to debate him, and I said no. I said if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. Biden said, I've been in locker rooms my whole life. I'm a pretty good athlete. And any guy that talked like that was actually the fattest, ugliest SOB in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need Joe Biden talking like that. You don't.
No,
you don't need Joe Biden standing up and saying that he wants to beat up Donald Trump.
No.
You're a 70-year-old man.
Right. I think he was just trying to exaggerate the point.
Yeah,
you know?
Doesn't matter. Can't make excuses. Listen, if you're going to go after Trump, you can't make excuses for Biden.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So Joe Biden owes Donald Trump an apology.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, wait a minute. Donald Trump may have negated the apology with a tweet this morning.
Uh-oh.
Crazy Joe Biden is trying to act like a tough guy. Actually is weak both mentally and physically, and yet he threatens me for the second time with physical assault. He doesn't know me, and he would go down fast and hard, crying all the way. Don't threaten people, Joel.
Okay, this is a former vice president of the country,
and that's the president
and
of the United States.
And this is the current president. This is so embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. They both need to go to their rooms. This is something where if you had two kids that were doing this, you'd go, work it out.
Or time out.
Yeah, you work it out. And if you can't be friends, then don't be friends. But we don't talk like that.
No.
And it's just completely unimpressive. And the former Vice President Biden started it, and instead of ignoring it, the president made it worse. They both owe each other an apology.
And us.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly right.
Before we get to what's coming up at 7, 847 texter, Let's see, 847. I don't like the question, Steve. I've been thinking about it, and I've morphed into who do I owe an apology during my lifetime to, and now I'm depressed.
I should have
847. Mrs. Madigan owes me an apology for naming your son Mike. It was a good name till that happened.
Oh.
847. An apology. The person who introduced me to my wife. That's the one who owes me an apology. 414. I'm owed no apologies. Everything I got, I had coming. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. By the way, that's not from Vice President Biden or President Trump.
No, it's owning it.
815. My sister.
That's it?
Well, it says something else, but it's kind of
Yeah. Maybe the sister knows.
Well, she's dead.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. 309. My ex-husband owes me an apology for being a putz.
Oh, God.
847. The actor Pauly Shore. I shouldn't say the actor. Pauly Shore should apologize for me for all the movies I've watched of his.
The Weasel.
How many movies has he made?
He made 4 or 5. So, you know, if they're all 90 minutes, it's almost 10 hours of your life you're never going to get back again.
That's true.
269. Ronald McDonald owes me an apology because I'm fat.
Oh, yeah. That'll happen.
Okay. I like you guys. You're funny.
This is good therapy this morning, though.
Who owes you an apology and why?
The hostess company.
I'm sorry?
The hostess company.
The hostess company owes you an apology?
Killing off chocodiles.
Oh, they owe you an apology not for having stuff that you wanted to eat, but for killing off one of their products.
Right, because I love those chocodiles.
What were chocodiles?
They were
those.
Like the chocolate version of Twinkies, but better.
Chocodiles? I don't remember chocodiles.
Like a Susie Q?
It would kind of look like a Twinkie, but it was all chocolate. It had chocolate icing on it and chocolate cream inside of it.
Oh,
if I remember.
Okay.
No, maybe it had vanilla cream.
Like a Zinger?
Like a
woo-woo?
It was a chocodile.
No, like a zippity-doo-dah? Mary, do you have anyone who should apologize to you?
Oh, man. I don't know. Well, one of the guys I used to work with said you would never make it in radio.
What's his name? My boss. What's his first name?
I don't want to. He's still working out there.
What's his first name?
Mark.
Okay.
Zuckerberg?
It's Mark Zuckerberg. That's exactly right. Again, we're limiting Andrea to 1% per break per section of the show. Joe actually has an apology, Dave, that you might want to ask for.
They did amazing things with sand.
Okay.
So you want Sports Illustrated to apologize to you? Or, Joe, are you saying Dave should apologize to us? I think
an apology is in order. Dave should know what it's for.
Super Joe is saying that you should apologize to him because you creeped him out by your sandy bathing suit reference.
Yeah, and to women.
Okay, Joe, look, you're too young to know this.
Trust me, Dave's right. It was amazing. You know these products you see now called Magic Sand? They don't know what they're talking about. That was Magic Sand.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, this has gotten busy. Text question after Mark Zuckerberg apologized yesterday. He apologized for running the company that allowed 50 million people to have their data stolen on Facebook by Cambridge Analytica. And somebody was listening earlier, 630 text, who said, from Nick's ex-wife, oh no, pal, you owe me an apology.
Oh. We thank them both for listening.
Uh-huh. 708 says, in the text line is 312-981-7200. And as always, if you don't have anyone that owes you an apology, make it up. Oh, you have another one?
Oh, my list just keeps growing. I keep remembering things. It's good therapy, though.
Okay, who is it?
Well, the person who blocked me on Facebook, she knows exactly who she is.
708, my mom for giving birth to my brother, or as I call him, the Antichrist. I bet you guys are fun at Thanksgiving. 815, my mom owes me an apology for stealing mine and my two brothers' identities and $30,000 from her own mom and running out of state. How about that?
Wow, she wins.
Is that an active crime?
Oh, God.
Wow, I'm
Eddie
sorry
Johnson's
to hear that.
Falling, hold on.
219, everyone who mistook me for a man in the ladies' room. Ouch. Ouch.
Boy.
630, coworker sent him an apology by email despite the fact he was really wrong and the instigator. He forwarded it to a bunch of other people.
Oh, no.
I got a bunch of these. I'm not going to read all of these, but I got a bunch of these. Donald Trump, period. 574, my old boss, she campaigned herself at the great expense of others who drove the success. Shame on her. You know, I think about that. I really wasn't going to even play this game. Sam Zell, Randy Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
For what they did to this radio station.
And the company.
Tom Langmuir. See, now you got me started.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here's my pen.
I'm not going to say Kevin Matheny, because Kevin Matheny is, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, he's dead.
Passed.
Yeah. 262, my ex-girlfriend who canceled a cruise, which was to celebrate my 50th birthday, only to find out she took her daughter. So am I understanding this right, that they broke up and she took her daughter? Or did she become the ex-girlfriend after he found out that she took her daughter? Because maybe she was planning on breaking up.
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe we don't want to get
262, we'll need some follow-up text.
Yeah.
619, every Trump voter. You know, if we're going to go down this path, Hillary Clinton owes us all an apology for running a horrible campaign and being a terrible candidate.
Yes.
847, Mike Madigan for destroying the state. You know what? Let me add him to the list. Mm-hmm. He's on my list.
Yes. Again, here's my pen.
Texters 312-981-7200, who owes you an apology. After 7. You know, the majority of us are remarkably blessed. There's a family that has gone through just an unspeakable nightmare. And they suffered another loss this week. They are previous guests on this show, and I want to read something to you that Mom wrote after 7 o'clock. Also, Gary McCarthy wants to be the mayor. Yep, that Gary McCarthy, the former police superintendent. He announced last night he'll join us at 7:40. We'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Seven ten. Now, we all spend too much time feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we'll feel bad for ourselves, and it's completely appropriate. I mean, you're all entitled. Even maybe when it's inappropriate, sometimes you're entitled. But hopefully you move on, and you get on with it, and you get afterlife. If you're blessed to have kids or grandkids and you know what joy that brings to your life, you can't imagine losing them. You know, that thing about no one should ever have to bury their child. Well, I can't imagine anything worse. And I don't know how you put one foot in front of the other. You know, we meet a lot of amazing people through this show, and I've met a lot of amazing people in this job through the years. None more so than the Van Houten family. They're from Downers Grove, and Tracy Huvelman, who was Spike's producer for all those years, and mine as well, she is friends with the Van Houtens, and she introduced me to them. They and the family have dealt with something called Batten disease, B-A-T-T-E-N. It's named after the doctor that discovered it 100 or more years ago. It affects less than 500 kids on the planet, and two of their children have had it in one family. It's a brutal disease. I don't need to go into what it does to kids, because you just trust me that when I tell you, I have never heard of anything worse than what Batten does. And Noah Van Houten died from Batten disease, and his sister Lane passed away this week. So they've lost two kids now. There is a website I will alert you to called Noah's Hope that I really hope you'll support. This family isn't asking for money to pay their bills, to go on trips, to do whatever. They want a cure. They don't want another family to go through the hell they've gone through. They don't want to, more importantly, they don't want another kid to go through what their kids have gone through. And they're amazing people. Any of you have had the pleasure of knowing the Van Houtens, I know that you understand that. It's a little charity. It needs a lot of help, and I certainly hope you'll support it. It's noashope.com. Noah and Lane's mom wrote an obituary. Imagine writing an obituary for your daughter. And I'm going to try to get through this. Look, I'm going to read this, and I think I'm going to. The only way to properly remember this little girl is to read what her mom wrote. And this is it. When Lane Van Houten began her great adventure, she had no idea what was ahead. She only knew she loved to dance, play, dress up with her twin sister Emily, and teeter-totter in a tiara with her older brother Noah. When she started out in tutus and twirls, it soon became clear that she was more than just a regular princess. She was an adventure princess with an explorer's heart, the strength of a lion, and the courage of a superhero. The world's a big place, and in her 12 years, she lived it. She skied White Powder Mountains in Keystone. She breathed the fresh evergreen air in Snowmass. She felt the tickling sands between her toes and the beaches of Florida. She loved the castles at Disney. She ached from losing her big brother, Noah, to Batten disease in 2016. And she felt the enormous love and support of her hometown of Downers Grove and surrounding communities. Although she was an adventurous princess, she didn't pack light. She forged ahead through each new day, carrying with Noah the unbearable burden of Batten disease. As her skips turned to trips, then to a wheelchair, and her toddler chatter turned to silence, she continued to move forward, inspiring those who helped her and others to find a new drug that slows the progression of Batten disease. Lang continued her journey with her brother as her map, her mom, dad, and sisters as her navigators and her caregivers. Her teachers and nurses and doctors and neighbors and family and friends as her light in the darkness. Like a shadow at sunset, our little girl's spirit reached out and touched so many more than her beautiful body could ever permit. Lane's great adventure ended on Tuesday at the far too young age of 12. And we will carry our adventure princess to the four corners of the world as she will live forever in our hearts.
Beautifully written.
It's it's amazing. So, look, if you're a parent, there's no words. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can just if you know the Van Houtens, give them a hug, right?
And
I don't know what else you do.
Maybe make a little donation.
Anything,
too.
Anything.
Yeah,
you can imagine a charity with less than 500 victims.
Yeah.
Represented around the world by this disease, when you're trying to find a cure, there's no government money. No government is going to go, okay, let's reach out and try to figure out with millions and millions and millions of dollars how we can stop a disease that affects 500 kids on a planet of 7 billion people. It just doesn't work that way. So with that in mind, funding any doctors who could do this kind of work is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a miracle or maybe it's not. Maybe it's just a breakthrough. Maybe your donation makes a difference. So reach out if you can. It's noashope.org.
And remember the last time they were in, they were talking about the Cupcake Classic.
Yep.
And it's the race that they run. They are still planning to run it this year. Sunday, May 20th, the Cupcake Classic 5K. Everybody who runs will get a cupcake. The favorite dessert, Noah's favorite dessert.
By the way, I said noashope.org. It's noashope.com. I want to make sure you get the website right. Noashope.com, N-O-A-H-S, hope, .com for bat disease research. Look, I hope you help. And God bless that family. And little Lane as well. You know, depending on your own set and systems of beliefs, I suppose you can take some solace, you know, if you can picture the two being back together.
That's right.
You know, Lane and Noah now.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You don't mind if we just listen to this for the rest of the show, do you? Crank it up a little, Joe. Very few walk this earth as funky as James Brown. What a talented dude. And what an unpleasant man. I met him fairly late in his life. He wasn't fun. He wasn't fun. But he was amazing. You know, and if you like Bruno Mars, and I love Bruno Mars, Bruno Mars is like some sort of weird morphing of Prince and James Brown and a little bit of Ray Charles. You know, all kind of put in a Richard Simmons salad shooter and shout out.
Little Michael Jackson in there, too.
Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson. That's a great point. That's a great point. Yeah, he's got some Michael Jackson going on.
He's
going
to be at Lollapalooza this year, by the way.
Yeah, I heard somebody last night complaining about the lineup of Lollapalooza and that it's taking longer to sell tickets. But there's three or four big headliners.
Yeah, Bruno Mars, Jack White, and The Weeknd are three of the big ones.
Yeah.
And then they haven't even done
And The Weeknd still spelling his name wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that. Dave, you know, this is why we can't have nice things. We thought we had a surprise announcement coming up, a baseball surprise announcement. But you can't stop good reporting. Robert Feeder reporting this morning on Steve Stone joining us.
Yes, Steve Stone will be back with WGN Radio.
Feeder knows everything. You notice that about Robert Feeder? He knows things that haven't even happened yet.
He does.
That's right. He knows who Andrea wants apologies.
Yes, exactly right.
That's right.
He's ahead of her on the list. So robertfeeder.com reporting it this morning. Look, Steve Stone, best baseball mind I've come across. And he will join us when?
He will join us on this show Friday mornings. Mm-hmm. And he will join, who's the guy in the afternoon?
Rokan.
Oh, yeah. He'll be on with him on Monday.
It rhymes with Rokan.
Yeah. Meaning Rokan. Yeah. He'll be on with Roe on Mondays.
Okay. So we'll get front and back of the weekend with Steve Stone on the Chicago White Sox. I believe I heard this in an earlier day event at Sportscast that the opening day for baseball for us is a week away.
Yes. Everybody starting next Thursday.
Am I crazy? 29th. Didn't baseball used to start on a Monday?
Well, it would start on a Monday. There would be a Sunday night opener.
But prior to that, the traditional opening game was in Cincinnati on a Monday afternoon.
Yeah, correct. Correct.
Because I believe the Cincinnati Red Stockings were baseball's first major league franchise, like in 1857, 8, something like that.
Well, they would open, and they would always have the first opener. And then the Washington Senators would also have the presidential opener. And That tradition kind of went out the window
when the franchise ended.
Well, that part did, yes, but also, but the idea of one team opening ahead of time, something about television.
Yeah, ESPN, right? ESPN got the baseball package, and then it was a Sunday night opener.
Sunday night opener,
but now a Thursday opener.
Everybody.
Is that new?
This year, I think it's the first time everybody's opening on Thursday.
Okay,
yeah.
And where will the Sox open?
Sox will open in Kansas City.
Okay.
And the Cubs will open in Miami.
Okay.
And so the Sox home opener is 2 weeks from today, April 5th.
And we will be live there that morning, there being Guaranteed Rate Field.
Correct.
And then I believe Bill and Wendy and John will be doing their shows out there when we're done.
Cool. That'll be fun.
And now you're going to be wandering the field.
I am. I'm going to be
Dave, you and I will be in the broadcast booth.
Yes, where it's warm.
Be cool. Yes.
Hey.
Because we never know what the weather's going to be. I mean, you can get 70 degrees or you can get 31 and windy.
And snow.
Well, look, I mean, 2 weeks from today, it could be great.
Yeah.
I mean, last weekend was nice.
Mm-hmm.
It could be chilly.
It could be difficult.
It's going to be fun.
Could be difficult. Let's see. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And the text question continues to roll. And Mark Zuckerberg's apology yesterday seemed sincere.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. But if you're one of the 50 million people who had your data stolen on Facebook, maybe an apology is not enough now. Maybe you need, say, a check from Mark Zuckerberg for what would be fair?
$1 million.
$1 million. That seems like a nice start. Does Mark Zuckerberg owe you an apology?
No, not yet.
Okay, not yet. All right, 7:26. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Unfortunately, Chicago's city government has lost our trust because of failed policies and the endless politics of bluster and bullying. I'm running for mayor to change that. This is one of the greatest cities in the world.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Gary McCarthy's going to join us in a couple of minutes. Again, he wants to be your next mayor, which changes the scope of this mayoral race pretty quickly and pretty dramatically. It was not exactly a friendly departure from an outsider's viewpoint when McCarthy left. This is all in and around the Laquan McDonald time. when the video was finally released. I don't believe we've seen a comment from the mayor's office yet, have we?
About Gary McCarthy running? Not yet. Nope. Not yet.
And when we do, we will let you know. Mm-hmm. But Mr. McCarthy, I believe, is wrapping up an interview right now with some other folks, and then he will join us in just a second. So we have a governor's race, which could go to $300 million in expenses between Rauner and J.B. Pritzker. Mm-hmm. McCarthy being in the mayor's race, I think, makes it dramatically more expensive because whether, and I'll take this up with McCarthy, but whether McCarthy has experience or not, he has a name, and therefore that drives up the price of running for the office.
Yeah, absolutely. One interesting thing, though, I guess what might be a silver lining to the gubernatorial race, Steve, is that J.B. Pritzker and Bruce Rauner both have so much money, and they are pouring so much in it, hopefully. Maybe at this point, since there's so much money that's going to be spent on this race, it will be about the message and not the money.
Because it'd be a nice surprise, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it be a nice surprise? Yeah.
Former police superintendent Gary McCarthy joins us now. Good morning, Mr. McCarthy. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
And I think this is the right word. Congratulations that you're in the race for mayor.
Yeah, this is one of those be careful what you wish for things.
What made you make that decision?
So I've got this public service thing that I've been doing for a long time, and I can't stand by and watch what's happening here. And, you know, I never would have considered a mayoral run, but people just kept coming to me and coming to me and coming to me, and the movement that they started has become a tidal wave. And honestly, just I think Chicago's ready for change. And if it couldn't be done, I wouldn't do it. But we've done our polling, and you know, the mood on the street and just talking to people are very excited about me running for mayor. So it became one of those things that, you know, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save a great American city. And, you know, how often do you get that opportunity if you enjoy public service?
Well, that's quite true. You know, if somebody comes and asks, you've got to at least give it a listen. And now that you've jumped in, the one question that we're hearing from folks is about your departure from the city with Rahm. And was it an ugly departure? And is this about payback?
No, absolutely not. You know, I can't say that if I pull this off, there wouldn't be a modicum of that was pretty cool. But the bottom line is this is more about just what's happening here. I live here. I'm not moving. And it's just an incredible opportunity to do something special.
Now, is your family here?
So I'm remarried, and I have a 17-month-old son. My 28-year-old daughter is here. But my 30-year-old is back in New York. She's out there.
And regardless if they're 20,
my family is spread all over the country, quite frankly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was going to say, regardless of your kids being 28 or 30, they still get a vote on what think is best for you or hope is best for you. So what do the kids think?
They're excited. They're excited. My wife, it took a little bit for me to get her to be excited. She was like, right. Why would you want to jump back into the public life when, you know, people just started leaving us alone? And I'm like, because that's what I do. And she is 100% behind me. She hopped into the exploratory committee. She's got incredible organizational skills, and she's really helped out a lot.
Now, obviously, you know policing and you know the crime. What else sells you as a guy ready for this kind of job? Because I know you know this, but people certainly can jump to the conclusion that just because you're a good cop doesn't mean you'd be a good mayor.
Well, because I'm a manager. You know, I've managed large, diverse organizations. I've managed $1.5 billion budgets. And I've been at the top of city government in three major American cities for 16 years, working hand in glove with folks like Rudy Giuliani, Mike Bloomberg, Cory Booker, who could foreseeably be a president of the United States, and then here in Chicago. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I've been at the top of city government for a long time. So, and learning how to manage, you know, one of the best trainings I ever got in my life. The NYPD sends managers to Columbia Business School to learn business management techniques. They don't even talk about policing until like 6 months into the program. And that was the best training I ever got. And what we need is business management brought to government here in Chicago. Because if anybody in this city or any place else in the world ran their business the way that we run City Hall, they'd be out of work in a heartbeat.
Gary, I want to ask you, too, about your running on the plateau in your video you said of getting those crime numbers down in Chicago. However, violent crimes under Eddie Johnson over the past year are down significantly from your tenure. How would you answer that?
It's not down from my tenure. It's not even close to reaching the levels that it was at when I left. That's the problem. You know, we compare numbers year by year. And don't forget the 80% increase that happened in 2016. You know, they own that. And that's why Rahm Emanuel wanted me to resign. He didn't want to fire me because then he wouldn't own the fallout from my termination. He wanted me to resign so he could say, look, the guy left. What do you want me to do? I'm not accountable for everybody getting murdered. Well, guess what? He is. And it's not hard to reduce an 80% increase year over year. We had the lowest murder rates in this city in 2013 and 2014 since 1965. And we haven't reached that. We're not going to reach that for a long time. There were 1,400 people murdered in the 2 years since I got fired. That's unbelievable.
Critics, however, say that though you were fired because it took the department 14 months to release the video of the death of Laquan McDonald.
Well, critics would be wrong because the department had nothing to do with that. The entirety of that was handled by the Corporation Counsel, Steve Patton. As a matter of fact, go back and take a look at his testimony in front of the Financial Committee of the City Council in April of 2015, where he said that Officer Van Dyke acted within the scope of his authority. And then a year and a half later, when he, quote-unquote, resigns, he said that when he saw the video, he thought it was a case of murder. You want to talk about where the cover-up happened? It's right there.
Yeah, you can't have it both ways. You know me, and you've known me long enough to know that I will have a cop's back every time until it's proven they don't deserve it. Clearly, there was more of a mess with a very, very small percentage of the Chicago Police Department, making it tough for the very, very large percentage of the cops trying to do the right thing on the street. You know, if I remember correctly, you're certainly a fan of Eddie Johnson, and he has done a nice job in the work he's doing. But what's your understanding of the state of CPD now?
They're in bad shape. They, you know, the two things the cops say to me all the time is that they miss me, and that if that's what they did to me, what would they do to them if they made a mistake? So morale is really low. Nobody has their back. I think that the leadership is kind of sorely lacking in a lot of places within the department based upon political promotions. And people know that. It's not about a meritocracy anymore where you earn your positions by working hard and, you know, performing. And by the way, I still need to point out that while I like Eddie Johnson a lot, the process that was used to appoint him was completely illegitimate. There's municipal law that lays out the process for appointing a police superintendent in the city of Chicago. And what it says is that the police board will do a national search, come up with three candidates, give it to the mayor, and if the mayor likes one of the three, he selects them, gets them ratified by the council. If he doesn't like it, he throws out the search and they do it again. Well, what we did in this case was we got the city council to change the law for one day so that Rahm Emanuel could appoint whoever he wanted. And what he did was he appointed somebody who didn't apply for the job. That's not okay. Checks and balances are in place for a reason. And you just skirt the issue when you want to? I mean, that's a problem. Legitimacy. You want legitimate policing, but you got illegitimate government processes that put these folks in place. It's not okay.
How much time will the mayor of Chicago, if you win, how much time will you be spending cleaning up what you believe is this kind of cronyism?
Probably the whole time. It will be a long-term process. It's going to, you know, changing a culture is a big deal. It's very difficult to do. It was amazing that I had an opportunity to be part of that change in the NYPD. The NYPD went from the, I jokingly called it the old guy network, where the way you get ahead is by hanging on and not letting anything happen, covering up scandals and, you know, not on my watch, to a meritocracy that encouraged forward thinking and thinking out of the box. And that's the only reason that I succeeded in the NYPD, because I was not hooked up. So it can be done in a large city. Chicago, it's very ingrained in the way that we do business. And I think people are tired of it. You know, one of my friends says that Chicago is ready for a Brexit. We're ready for a break from the past, from the way that we've done business, which has put us in the position that we're in today, which is a laughingstock in America.
I know we both got to run here soon, but what's your relationship with the teachers union?
You know, I think that it's going to be a good one. I've never really had too much dealings. Karen Lewis and I met a couple of times. I really don't know Sharkey. But I think it's going to be a good one, especially since my view on schools has to do more with making sure that our children are in a position to learn when they get to school at 9 a.m., because I think teachers want to teach. And that means that things that happen outside the school affects what happens inside the school. And rather than closing schools and eliminating social services in our most distressed neighborhoods, that's where we need to pour all our energy into it, to make sure when that kid gets to school, he's ready to learn. Maybe he wasn't up all night because there was a shooting outside of his window. Maybe he doesn't have to cross over two gang lines to get to school. Maybe he actually had breakfast that morning. And, you know, the kid's in a position to learn geometry. So I think it's going to be a good relationship. I've done very well with unions over the course of my career. Not that I'm not concerned about it, but I think I'm very optimistic about it.
How would you work with Bruce Rauner or J.B. Pritzker to get the most from Springfield for Chicago, the most out of Springfield for Chicago?
Yeah, I have never met Mr. Pritzker. I have met Governor Rauner on a number of occasions. But I would reach out and with a plan. First start with an introduction and kind of give them a who's Gary McCarthy, what my expectations are, what it is I'm going to do in the city, and try and incorporate their thoughts into a long-term plan to get the state on track, because we know how what happens in Springfield affects what's happening here in Chicago. So introduction at first, and then come back with a plan and sit down and roll our sleeves up and try and get something done. I've always worked very well in the sandbox with people, and my expectation is that's going to continue. Anybody who has Chicago's best interest in mind will be welcome at the table, and whether they're friend or foe, whether people I've had good relationships or bad relationships with, anybody who's interested in helping us fix Chicago, I'll work with.
Do you consider yourself a Republican, a Democrat, an independent now? What are you? Well, you know, the reason I ask is because a lot of us don't know, not just about you, but about ourselves.
Yeah, no, I am a conservative Democrat is what I think.
Okay.
When I started voting in New York City in 19-something.
Yeah, don't give that up.
A long time ago, the Democratic Party was the blue-collar, working-class party in the Bronx. And that's what I signed up for, and that's where I've been ever since. I don't hold, and you know, within the Democratic Party, there's left, there's right, and there's middle of the road. I'm more middle of the road, but Democrats on the left would say that I'm leaning towards the right.
Yeah, no, I understand. And this is going to make for a very interesting time. And you may or may not know this. The mayor has been a guest on this show many times, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with both of you. But before I let you go, I've always considered the mayor's job in the two biggest cities in the country, here and in New York, one of your major jobs as a manager is to manage the city council, and in this case, it's the aldermen here. What do you like or not like about how the aldermen do their job, and what would you change?
I think the problem is everybody's about their own self-interest, but I think teamwork is probably the most important thing that we could talk about. That, you know, I always fall back on athletics. I mean, I played sports my whole life, and that's why I'm so banged up at the age of 58. But, you know, leadership, getting everybody moving in the same direction is something that I've been pretty good at during my entire career. And I think that it will actually work with elected officials. I'm gonna harken back to the fact that I'm a public servant. I'm not going to be a politician. And I'm going to remind politicians that they're actually public servants first. And they have to have the greater good in mind rather than their own self-interest.
It is GaryForMayor.com, G-A-R-R-Y, GaryForMayor.com. Good luck. I look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Steve.
That's Gary McCarthy, former police superintendent, wants to be the mayor of Chicago. Again, because something hit him in the head. No, because he's a public servant, yeah, and he wants to do it. And I look forward to having Mayor Emanuel on to talk about some of the statements made by Mr. McCarthy, and to continue to talk about why he deserves to stay in the job.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
people continue to text in who owes him an apology. Your list is getting longer, not shorter. Do you have another one? I said you could do one each time.
Just keep thinking. Now, you know, my now friend, ex-friend, Doug, who whitewashed me when I got off the school bus in third grade. For anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's right after it snows and you get off the bus and you're just walking home to have your snack. And the mean boy who lives down the block jumps on your back and whitewashes you in the snow, buries your head in it.
I didn't even know about that term. I didn't know about this.
Isn't it mean?
That's a crime.
Mean boys on my block. I know.
Well, continue your list. I don't want to stop you. And I don't want to interrupt you with the show while you're making your list. People that owe you an apology.
More paper here.
815. Two men in a truck. I pulled up next to one of their trucks. One guy.
Oh, that's wrong.
Dean joins us after the news. That's next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Dean Richards joins us. By the way, Dean, Gary McCarthy wants to be the mayor, and he was on a little while ago, and he said a lot of cops tell him they miss him. We're getting texts from a lot of cops who would like to have that conversation with him. So we'll take that up with him next time. And the podcast is up if you'd like to hear the full Gary McCarthy interview.
I almost got him detained at O'Hare going through security once. I was doing a phone interview with him, and he was in the TSA line, you know, getting ready for TSA. I said, you know, if you really, you shouldn't be on the phone while you're going through TSA. Do I have to tell someone who was a policeman this? And he got up there. He finally did end the connection, but then he texted me later that they stopped him about being on the phone in that place. You don't mess around with the TSA people. I don't care who you are.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, important people have been injured emotionally and physically by Dean for years.
I like to think so.
And he probably owes a lot of them an apology.
Yeah, so
I'll be at O'Hare myself today. I'm going to New York today to do some interviews because if there's a nor'easter someplace, that's where I want to be. But I love going through the. This is my famous joke when I go through TSA. I ask the people, can I request a full strip search?
Right, and they love it.
Yeah, they think it's hilarious.
And if you get a chance to text me to let me know you're in line at TSA, I'll call you.
Perfect.
Yeah, so we could time it out that way.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Steve Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, apologized yesterday for the Facebook fiasco. That's not quite enough as my stock continues to take a hit. But the text question today, Dean, was who owes you an apology and why? And Sandberg's here because she's got a beef with you.
With me?
I do, Dean.
Okay.
Sometimes when you send your emails, you respond in all caps, and I feel like I'm being yelled at.
I get that a lot because when I write my scripts, when I'm writing my scripts, they're in all caps, and then sometimes I forget to turn it off when I'm communicating with people.
And so I do know that you do write your scripts in caps because you send our list in caps that you send us. But then still, I tell myself that. But then the other part of my brain that's kind of the...
Or is he yelling at me?
Yeah, why is he yelling at me right now?
Okay.
So
take that into consideration, Dean.
Well, am I going to get an apology?
Apologize.
Obviously, it's a heartfelt one.
I won't be here tomorrow, but starting Monday, I'll send them in little, like, cursive, like the most passive.
Tiny little fonts.
Comic Sans MS.
Lowercase fonts.
Helvetica.
If you send it in all caps, but then do a smiley face after, then I know everything's okay.
Yeah, I get people, I don't know, I just forget to turn it off. And people say all the time, why are you yelling?
Dean,
I respond, why are you so sensitive?
He's going to send you the kiss blowing emoji, Mary.
I'm not an emoji sender.
I'm not an emoji guy either.
You let the caps on?
Yeah, last week I wrote a note on the refrigerator about cleaning out the refrigerator or I was going to get rid of everything, and I wrote it all in caps. And Ben Cortez said, "You're yelling at everyone."
Yeah, I've seen you with that refrigerator. I think you were yelling.
You want the refrigerator clean.
Yeah. Yeah. You want your point made with that.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess I kind of did it, but I didn't mean to.
So again, all notes from Dean in the future will be in a font called "This is too friggin' small to see."
Script.
That'll be the font.
They'll be happy.
Boston's Bozo is gone. Blurred lines, court's decisions. I thought we settled that.
Not yet.
Robin Williams, Celine Dion, Lollapalooza, all coming up, and I will go through a whole bunch of you listeners and your needs for apology coming up. None of them related to Dean. That's all on the way.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972. Oh.
All right, back to Dean now. What an awkward time to go through puberty.
Very emotional, I know.
I didn't know Boston had their own Bozo.
Many, many cities around America have their own Bozo shows. None with the longevity of our Bozo show here in Chicago.
Do they call him Bozo?
They did call him Bozo, yeah. He was Bozo the Clown.
Some knockoff Bozo clown from Boston?
Well, he was a man named Frank Average. Average?
Oh.
Average. I'm sure that was his name in grammar school, though. Any good grammar school kid worth his salt.
His best friend was Mikey Mediocre.
Not jumping on that like crazy.
Dave, did you have a Bozo in D.C.?
There was a Bozo in D.C. In fact, you probably know who it was. It was Willard Scott.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, where I grew up, Dean, in upstate New York, the nearest big TV town was Syracuse, New York.
Didn't you have, like, Booger the Clown or
no, you know what's
something?
Funny? Listen to this. We had Salty Sam.
Oh,
yeah.
Sounds like a
Salty Sam.
Sounds who was, like a sailor.
He was. He was a sailor. He was a sailor on a ship. Salty Sam.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, Frank Average played Bozo in Boston from 1959 to 1970. Very, very, very nice man. And there are obituaries throughout because people think there was just one Bozo show. And here in Chicago, you know, people think that that was the Bozo show that everybody saw everywhere. It was the show with the greatest longevity. Bob Bell played him for 24 years. And then when he retired, Joey DiOrio played him for 17 years. There was a 10-year waiting list for our Bozo show here on WGN. So.
And didn't Bozo come from here? Didn't we invent Bozo?
We did not invent Bozo.
Well, where did Bozo come from?
Bozo was invented by Capitol Records in Los Angeles as a record album storybook. It was like the first interactive record album ever. And you'd put your little, probably 78 RPM record on, and Bozo would tell a story, and you'd follow along in the storybook when Bozo would ring a little bell. You turn the page, and that became so popular that it became a local show in Los Angeles on our sister station, KTLA. And the first person ever to play Bozo was an actor named Pinto Colvig, who was probably now best known as the voice of Goofy and many other famous Disney voices. Exactly. That was him. And so, you know, these Bozo shows started popping up all over the country. None is successful. I'm sure everyone thinks that their Bozo show is the best, but none was as successful, I don't think, as clever, multi-leveled as our Bozo show.
Did they have regional accents wherever they were?
I suppose they did. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't seen a lot of...
Like the Boston one would be, the bucket game is wicked hard.
I think we were the only one that did a bucket game, a grand prize game.
Well, obviously, everybody else screwed up their Bozo. What's the Blurred Line story?
This story's been going on forever, where it was ruled by a lower court that the song that was the biggest song of 2013, Blurred Lines, with Pharrell Williams and Robin... forget his last name now.
Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke, right. Was stolen from...
Well, what you're forgetting is Emily Ratajkowski, the supermodel who is... who came out of that?
She was in the video.
It was a famous video because they had a version of it where the models were naked. Well, yeah. Not naked; they were topless. I didn't see it, by the way.
Really fits in with the whole, Me Too movement, respect for women movement. Anyway, this actually went to a federal appeals court. It was appealed when it was ruled that it did infringe on the copyright of Marvin Gaye's song, Got to Give It Up.
So this is the Alan Thicke, Pharrell side trying to get the decision reversed, won by the Marvin Gaye side.
Exactly. So yesterday, a federal appeals court, this is your judicial system in action, agreed that the verdict should be upheld. Marvin Gaye's family now will get $5 million and 50% of all of the profit that they made on that song.
Robin Williams, troubles?
Robin Williams, Pam Dauber, who played Mindy on Mork and Mindy, just wrote a new book, and she wrote very lovingly about Robin Williams. But she did, in this new book, disclose that Robin Williams was... there was plenty of inappropriate behavior that was going on.
Yeah, flashing her and groping her. And but she seemed to say it was the 70s, and I went with it.
She said that she loved him, and she thought it was funny, and nobody took it seriously. You know, he was just like a silly clown. She said that she was flashed, humped, bumped, and grabbed. And that Robin Williams had a gigantic heart and left it there. But, you know, she did disclose that nonetheless.
Well, it was different times. Judge accordingly, I guess, or with your own set of rules. Fred Savage, on the other hand, not so much.
He has also been the subject of some accusations by a woman who was a costumer on the comedy that he was on called The Grinder. The costume people, you know, lay out the clothes, the costumes that they're supposed to wear that day on the show, make sure that everything apparel-wise is correct. She claims that Fred Savage swore at her and created a hostile work environment and had a reputation for tormenting female crew workers. 20th Century Fox Television underwent a full investigation into these claims, and they found all of this to be meritless. They say that none of it's true. Yesterday, Fred Savage said, "Well, none of the accusations being leveled at me are true. I wholeheartedly support all people who feel that they're being mistreated to come forward and to speak to human resources and people who are in charge when that does happen."
And who is on the Lollapalooza lineup?
Oh, Steve. Bruno Mars is going to be doing the Lollapalooza this year. That's going to be the show to watch this year. The Weeknd, you know The Weeknd, don't you?
Again, misspelling his name. Somebody's got to tell him Weeknd is spelled differently than that.
You gotta get a spell check. If you're going to be a rock star, you got to get a spell check.
That's all I'm saying.
Jack Black is going to be a part of it. Arctic Monkeys will be
Jack
part
Black
of it.
Or Jack White?
Jack White. Jack White, thank you.
Yes.
Jack Black, who is white, is not going to be part of this year.
Well, that would be an interesting...
Jack Black and Jack White should do a song together.
Yeah, they should.
They should do a song.
Yeah, like an update of Ebony and Ivory.
There you go.
Yeah, or Black and White.
Yeah, Arctic Monkeys, LL Cool J. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on of... famous people, the famous and the not so famous, who are going to be performing. And Steve, that's why you've actually done this, and I'm sure we'll do this again when Lollapalooza is actually going on, where you come up with names of bands and they're.
That's my annual game. My annual game: a Lollapalooza band, not a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in.
Right, like Cigarettes After Sex.
Right, is that a Lollapalooza band, not a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in? Dean?
That is a Lollapalooza band.
That's exactly right. Does this look infected? Is that a Lollapalooza band, not a Lollapalooza band, or a band I was in?
You mentioned this. I've known you for I don't know how many years. Uh-huh. You mentioned this band every year.
Well, it was one of my favorites.
Hoping that it catches on. This is not a Lollapalooza band.
It's a band I was in.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a band I was in. Yeah.
Where you get confused is when you always bring up a Boogie with the Hoodie.
A boogie with a hoodie.
A boogie with the hoodie.
See, you're very white. A boogie with a hoodie.
Sorry.
Yes. A boogie with a hoodie.
Because that's much better.
Yes, that's better. A boogie with a hoodie.
It's
a Lollapalooza band.
Yes. Dean, we'll talk to you later.
I'll see ya.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Anisimov holding to the half court, sets up Seabrook straight away with a drive, and then it's something in front. Here's the Brigand. He scores! A hat trick for the Cat! His third of the season!
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
I was there Sunday night. Oh, it looked good when he got that third one. And then, like so many other things this season, it went wrong. But the hat trick by Alex DeBrincat, his third of the year, actually caused John Weideman, legendary broadcaster John Weideman, to have a Dr. Seuss attack.
He did.
He had a full-on...
Green eggs and ham.
Full-on Seuss attack. Good morning, Kat.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you been?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
We're all right. Thanks for the entertainment. I was out there Sunday night when you got the third of the year.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun night. No, too bad we couldn't close it out.
It's been a weird, weird season. So why don't we celebrate the good times here for a second? I don't know if you know this, but there's only two other guys in the league that have three hat tricks, and they're pretty good. Connor McDavid and Alex Ovechkin. It's you three. That's not bad, right?
No, it's pretty good company.
You're the second rookie with three hat tricks in 25 years. You've tied the Blackhawks record for hat tricks in a season. That goes back to 87-88. What were you doing in 1987? Oh, that's right. You weren't alive. You have more hat tricks than Patrick Kane did in his first 8 years, and more hat tricks in the NHL this year than the OHL had all of last year. Listen, man, well done.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Dave, say hi to the cat.
Well, yeah, and you know what? We've talked before, Alex, and you've accomplished so much this season, but I know it was a big day for you earlier this week. The Blackhawks Alumni Association named you the Blackhawks Player of the Year. And I was going over the list of some guys who've won it before you. Patrick Kane's won it three times. Marian Hossa a couple of times. Corey Crawford. Duncan Keith. Keith Magnuson. The first winner was Dennis Savard.
And pretty good list.
Here you in your first season are honored by the Alumni Association with this award. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, it's like some of the people you listed, it's a huge honor to be able to accept that award. And, you know, even with the year we've had, it hasn't really gone the way we've wanted. But, you know, there's probably 12 other guys they could have given it to in the locker room. So I think that's it's a huge honor for me. And, you know, I'm truly humbled by it.
You know, we're so used and we're so spoiled and so used to winning with the Blackhawks that this year has been tough, as you know, from a fan standpoint as well. But, Dave, imagine this. It's your rookie season. You're tearing it up. You're one of the best in the league right out of the gate. What do you do after the game, Dave? You come in. It's another tough loss. Hey, good game, Cat.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole wah, wah, wah feel. Do you wait till you get in the car to celebrate?
No, not much celebrating that day. So, it's tough to give up lead really late in the game. You know, and it doesn't really matter what kind of night you have individually. It's mostly about the team, and you know, you're just never satisfied with losing like that.
All right, well, let's flip the calendar back to January and a happier hat trick. Your first game against the Red Wings in Detroit.
As a Michigan kid.
As a Michigan kid, as a Detroit area native, as a kid who grew up rooting for the Red Wings, and you have a four-point night in a 5-1 Blackhawks victory. I suspect that the mood after that game was a little bit different.
Apparently.
Was it?
Yep. Apparently it was so different he got emotional.
Alex, you there?
The line went dead. Line went dead. He's driving and the line went dead.
Yeah, that happened.
Can you get the cat back, or is he calling us? Okay. Just figure we should probably do a proper goodbye.
You think his friends call him Cat? You think when he goes to Starbucks and they say, "What's your name?" He says Cat, and then they put it on like the side of the cup?
So they have to write it on the side? Yes, Dave was making the point your hat trick against the Red Wings was probably a little more fun.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, being in front of a lot of friends and family that night. It was, you know, definitely a special night, and to come out with a big win against them was, you know, very special for me and, you know, my parents and my family watching.
Now, I know your memories in hockey go all the way back to, say, 2010 or 11, but what was the first hockey memory that you have as a little kid?
That's a tough one. I think,
I think we lost
him. Did we lose him again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I apologize. All right. We'll reconnect with Kat on another show. He's a good, look, here's the bottom line. He's a great kid. He's a great kid, and he has been, along with Patrick Kane, but we expected from Kaner. Nobody expected Alex DeBrincat, even though he was a really highly touted prospect. Nobody expected Alex DeBrincat to be as good as he's been this year.
No, no question about it. And we asked Joel Quenneville about him the other morning, Steve, and the thing he pointed out is what a cerebral player he is at a young age. He has a great feel for it, a great mind for the game.
And he's a really mature kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is. Yeah.
He is.
You know he's 20?
He is 20. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Did he just say uh-oh before he fell off there? Sounded like he said uh-oh, didn't it?
Well, he's not falling out of a high chair. He's 20.
Okay.
This is the hat trick of phone calls. Let's at least get him back to say goodbye. Sorry about the phone situation, though I think it's your fault, Kat.
Yeah, I think it is mine. I'm sorry about that.
No worries. Before we lose you again, let me get the question. This is for our friends at MB Financial Bank. Pete Mashinsky, big Blackhawks fan, says, who were your hockey heroes growing up, and who is the first Blackhawk player you looked up to?
I think my hockey heroes growing up were, you know, when I was really young, Steve Yzerman was a big player for the Red Wings.
Sure.
So I really liked and enjoyed watching him. And I think Pavel Datsyuk, as I got older, was one I watched.
Sure.
And,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely for the Blackhawks, I think it was Patrick Kane, you know, growing up.
Sure.
Our guy. He's definitely a pretty skilled player, and, you know, I just loved watching him. And although I didn't really like the Blackhawks too much, I enjoyed watching him.
Your friends back in Michigan give you a hard time because you're wearing the Indian head?
No, I think they're pretty happy for me, so no hard feelings from them.
Yeah, your friends are more mature than my friends. Listen, man, it's always great talking to you. You've been so entertaining this year, and you're a good dude, and we always appreciate it, and we look forward to many years of you on the ice at the Madhouse on Madison. So thanks for calling three times.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, see you
All
later.
Right, thanks. Patrick Kane was a guy I grew up watching.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember him. Was he one of the old guys?
The veterans.
You grew up watching him, didn't you, Steve?
Some people say no. Stand by. I've got a whole bunch of texts to tell you about from our question of the day on a text question, and that is, who owes you an apology?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook apologized for Facebook's, whoops, 50 million people had their data swiped and or at least misused by Cambridge Analytica, who was working with the Trump campaign. That's a whole thing. You know, if that's a thing, you know that question, is this a thing and not a thing? This is a thing. And that thing will continue to be part of the news. So my question today is, who owes you an apology? And Andrea's list gets longer and longer. Who owes you an apology?
I'm going to bring back one from the 6 o'clock hour, just in case you didn't hear it. But it was my college roommate who asked all of our roommates at the time and a bunch of my friends to be in her wedding and not me. But I'm not holding a grudge.
Have you ever discussed it with her?
No.
Well, I guess you
have now. I got invited to the wedding.
Steve, do you have anybody that owes you an apology? Steve Brzezinski?
No, I don't. I was joking earlier about the hostess company, and
that's it. That's the list.
Yeah, no, there's nobody really that I have. No,
Mary Vandeveld, you hold a grudge.
Yeah, well, I hold a grudge. My if you have brothers and sisters, I think everybody has a lot. The list is
Yeah, but you got like 40 kids that are, you know, you got 18 brothers, 28 sisters.
Well,
you know how many Vandervelds there are? The Osmonds called and said, why don't you take a break?
And if I can come to things my brother used to do to me when I was growing up, and then the fact my cousin threw me up on top of the refrigerator once and he wouldn't let me down, and I was stuck up there for, I don't know, I feel like it was days, but
it's probably 15 minutes.
You didn't just jump down?
It was a little high. I was a little kid.
Dave, you got anybody that owes you an apology?
Andrea?
No. Oh, I knew that
no.
was going.
Not really. Yeah. Not really, no.
You know what?
It's not a guy thing.
Can I take this time? And I do owe Dave an apology, and I'm going to do it right here publicly.
I know.
I apologize for beating you every time we have a contest, and I win. Okay. And I'm sorry.
Didn't see that coming.
I know that's a little bit of a strike.
I was trying to be the gentleman.
Sandberg, you must have people that owe you an apology.
Oh, I have quite a list. My parents owe me an apology because in fourth grade, we had to do a biography report and tell it to the class. And every single kid in my fourth grade class that was born in 1976 started out with, they are a bicentennial baby. And my parents didn't tell me that I was, so I did not start my report like that, and I'm still frustrated with that.
I can see why that would be troubling to you.
I didn't even know what it was, and I had to go ask, and then they told me, and my dad didn't think it was that significant.
And there was no internet, and I had to go to the card catalog.
I was so embarrassed. Also, they let me get my hair cut short and get a perm, which they should not have allowed.
Oh, my God, perms. That's not my look.
Yeah. Jessica Patterson called me fish eyes in second grade, which I didn't appreciate.
Well, we all know what happened to Jessica Patterson.
My sister told Victor and Joshua that I was in the bathroom when they came to the door to play with me in third grade, and I was so upset about that, because don't say that I'm in the bathroom.
I really pulled the lid off this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
It's all pouring
here,
out
here,
now.
Mary, take some paper.
How about
here.
You, Steve? Don't you have one?
I gave you my list. My list was Sam Zell.
Yeah.
Sam Zell, Randy Michaels,
right.
And
yeah.
Tom Langmire. But not Kevin Matheny, because he's dead.
My stepson could apologize for never pushing in his chair at the kitchen table.
Telling you, here, Mary, I'm sending all this over to you. A couple of pens.
I was going to go to the listener list, but we're out of time. Back with CLTV joining us next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You got to go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies.
Super Joe just informed me in my headphones that this is Justin Bieber, sorry. Like, I don't know that. I'm a Biebster. What's the name of his fan club?
A Belieber.
Oh, a Belieber, that's right. I'm a Belieber.
Hey, 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 hey.
I'm a Swiftie, too. Do you know that? I'm in a Taylor Swift's situation. So ridiculous. You ever in a fan club?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, I was in two. I was in the Die Hard Cub fan club when I was little, and the Bengals fan club when I was in grade school.
How about you, Dave? Were you in a fan club?
I don't know if I was. I was a member of the Daniel Boone, whatever it was. It wasn't a fan club necessarily, but it was the Fess Parker Daniel Boone series, and you got a little membership card.
You have a coonskin cap with a tail on it?
I had it when that was back in the Davy Crockett era.
Oh, Davy Crockett. I didn't know.
That's cute.
When I was really little. I still have it.
I wasn't allowed to join any clubs.
Really? You weren't in any fan club?
No.
I was in two fan clubs. My first fan club was Punky Brewster, Soleil Moonfry. And she sent you your headshot. That's what you got.
Oh, you got an autographed headshot?
I did. And then later on, my grandma got me a membership to the Andre Agassi fan club because she also thought he was good looking. Mm. So then I had a poster of him, you know, in the neon, in the denim, in my room.
Steve, were you in an astronaut fan club or something?
I was not an astronaut, but I was in the Mickey Mouse fan club, and I'm in the Die Hard fan club, the Cubs Die Hard fan club.
Yeah.
My dad got me my dad got me a little card back when they used to give you like a little laminated card for the Cubs Die Hard fan club and a little pin.
It looked like a little credit card.
Yeah. Back in, I think, 1977.
Remember Ferris Bueller and the guy that goes, Bueller, 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 Ben Stein?
Yeah, the money guy.
Yeah. You know, he's kind of dark, pessimistic. Vanderbilt was in that fan club.
What?
I can see that.
My sister is in the Pearl Jam fan club thing, where you're supposed to get like early access to things and notices. And all I can tell is she's been given notices. You can go stand in line earlier to buy our gear at concert.
Oh, sweet.
That's one of those hookups, yeah.
That's so fantastic.
I'm also in a burrito club, too, by the way, at Chipotle. You get notices on free burritos every once in a while.
Fantastic. You guys are living.
Yeah.
I'm in a Donald Trump fan club. You guys know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We could tell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Tweet from the president this morning. Remember when they were saying during the campaign that Donald Trump is giving great speeches and drawing big crowds, but he's spending much less money and not using social media as well as crooked Hillary's large and highly sophisticated staff? Well, they're not saying that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because nobody but you is talking about Hillary Clinton. Oh, that's why they're not saying it. Nobody. Nobody. He owes me an apology for that tweet.
Yeah, he does.
I have listener apology requests here. This is for people answering the text question. Who owes you an apology? 224, my sister for picking her friends over me.
Aww.
847, the guy who dumped me 50 years ago because I wanted to go to college. He still owes me an apology.
Oh, good. She's gotten over that.
Yeah.
Oh, who are you kidding? It'd be on your
list.
Well,
no, I know. I got two pages here full of stuff.
Yeah, you got another one?
Did I already say the one about when I liked the guy in eighth grade and my friend said, oh, she knew him and she was going to arrange for us to, you know, go to the spring fling together. And then during lunch, they went on the side of the building and they were making out.
Oh, I would have done that.
Really?
Which part?
I would have been the friend that took the guy you liked.
I don't even think she liked him until I told her.
I tend to like people once other people like them as well.
I don't think you understand the game. You're actually.
I probably have to put out a few apologies myself. Yeah.
630, my parents owe me an apology. I don't have any other details.
No.
just that.
Yeah.
262, the IRS for letting someone e-file my taxes. My life's never been the same.
Oh, see.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah.
630, the voters of Illinois for giving us the worst possible two candidates for governor. 630, my parents owe me an apology because the first time the Beatles were on the Ed Sullivan show, they wouldn't let me stay up. I begged and I begged and I begged. I told them how important it was to me. But no, I had to go to bed. I could barely hear the music and then the air conditioner kicked on. I couldn't hear a thing. I'm still mad.
Oh, that's rough.
630, Tom Brady owes me an apology for the amount of money I lost on the Super Bowl.
Valid.
Can I tell you a Tom Brady thing real quick? So Pat's been watching that Tom Brady special. You know, he's doing those shows
Facebook
or whatever.
Thing.
Yeah. And he sent his one kid to school. One of Pat's biggest complaints in life is Patrick goes to school without fixing his hair, okay? And every other boy.
What a TV guy complaint that is, right?
Every other boy that's at school also has messy hair, but he's focused on Patrick.
And no makeup either.
Yeah,
right.
However, he showed me yesterday, he had watched the Tom Brady thing the night before, and he was putting his kid just sending him to school, and the back of his hair is just jacked up like Patrick's, like he just laid on a pillow. And so then he's like, boy, if Tom Brady is sending his kid to school with messed up hair and his wife's a supermodel, then maybe
I should
lay off Patrick in this hair fixing.
When he said this, did you look at him and go, what, so I'm not a supermodel? Did you get none of those?
I did not say that.
Okay. So does he owe Patrick the apology?
You know, possibly he could owe Patrick an apology.
Yeah.
847, who owes me an apology? The neighbor puts their garbage out on a windy day and it ends up in my yard.
Oh, we have a neighbor like that. Don't get me started.
I think everybody does on the whole block.
Yeah. They have these homemade, what do you call it? When your gutter comes down and the thing that splashes out into the yard, they have these homemade little like boats that go at the end.
Downspout?
Yeah, it's like a little homemade extra downspout.
Okay.
And those things blow. And they blow onto by the side of our house. And I don't want to pick it up because it's not mine, but I don't want it by my house.
So you get the downspout boat blowing in?
Yeah, it's like a piece of metal. It's a bad system.
That's not good.
Yeah, put them on the list with the people with the planters.
630, my brother owes me an apology. I'm 41, but when I was a little kid, my parents were trying to make me use the potty. They'd toss Cheerios in the toilet for me to aim at. My brother would eat them.
Yeah. Oh.
I still don't know how to pee in a toilet.
No. How many years later?
847, my ex-boyfriend, who contacted me again because he missed me. But he didn't have time to see me because he was on Match.com and he had a date. Playa.
Big time apology.
630, my 18-year-old daughter. You owe me a lot of I'm sorry's. 262, my son's high school basketball coach for ruining their experience.
Oh.
312, Illinois politicians for breathing our air.
a lot of those.
815, my sister's in-law because they're just like their mother.
I'm guessing that she doesn't like the mother-in-law
family.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of apologies.
A15, all the 50-year-old retirees taking advantage of the Illinois pension. See, this is therapy. We're getting all this out.
Mm-hmm.
630, the 69 Cubs.
I was waiting for that one.
NFL, or A15, the NFL for owing my very small business $71,000 for replay panels. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean they put up the replay panels at Soldier Field and they didn't get paid? I don't know what that means.
Got to look into that. That's a Park District issue.
Replay or relay?
Replay.
Replay.
Dave, check it out.
Pay the check, NFL. Dave, look into that with your team.
Replay.
619, Zuckerberg and Facebook do not owe me an apology because I'm not gullible. Come on, people. Let's understand nothing is free, not even other things that I don't want to go into here. 630, I owe myself an apology because of all the bad choices I make. 847, state of Illinois owes an apology to all its citizens for not taking the tollway booths down 25 years ago. Yeah, remember when there were going to be no tolls?
Yeah, that was supposed to be 1973. They were supposed to be paid off by then.
So it's 45 years ago. 224, my husband for putting me in debt for a new truck and a Harley that we bought. We already bought a house that we were in debt for, and he put me in further debt with a new truck and a Harley. I think you two need to talk.
To more than just us.
414, I need an apology for my older brother for being an a-hole. 312, the singers and producers of the song It's Raining Tacos. I don't know that song. What's It's Raining Tacos?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Raining
Tacos.
Oh,
I do know that one. It's a kid song.
Oh, okay.
They fly around on the screen. They probably have a kid and they have to listen to it.
815, my third grade teacher owes me an apology for trying to make me right-handed. Now my writing sucks. 847, my mother-in-law owes me several apologies, but I don't think she's worrying about it. She's dead.
Okay, that's harsh.
Well, she said, she goes on to say she left me here to take care of her son.
Aw.
815, Chuck Todd, because it's Thursday, where is he? Chuck's on tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow at 6:40.
Chuck Todd will be on with us tomorrow. And finally, again, my favorite of the morning.
Here we go.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why.
Yeah, that texter was right.
I like that, actually. It's kind of catchy.
Well, go ahead and let's do it off the air. And from the 815, this one again is my favorite of the morning. Two men in a truck. I pulled up next to one of their trucks. One guy.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You can get a few more in before 10. 312-981-7200. Who owes you an apology? It's 920.
My stepdaughter for never getting in the shower when I tell her to.
Okay, now she's got to do another one. You're waving yours off this time?
I'll defer.
I got one.
I'll defer
what?
To Dave.
Yes.
Dave gets mine.
I'm trying to get to
time.
A break. What's yours?
Well, no, I can hold it.
No.
Well, I was thinking about it. The person or persons who stole my brand new car in 1982 off Menominee and Clark Street in Chicago, and I never saw it again.
And he had he was supposed to be driving some broadcasters.
Yes, I was. To the Bears Atlanta game. We're going to the airport.
Was it an Edsel?
And their response
was 82, not 42.
Oh, sorry.
What kind of car was it?
It was a Pontiac Firebird.
Nice.
I used to drive a Firebird.
Yeah. Did you steal it?
Twins.
No.
Did you buy it cheaply from a gang?
I did.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Next time your kid is digging in the dirt, leave him alone. I'll explain in a second.
Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News got his own comedy show, and Saturday nights in Chicago will never be the same. Man of the People, Saturdays at 10 on WGN TV.
Kill a little 6-year-old girl named Naomi Vaughn. She got bored at her sister's soccer game, started digging in the dirt by some sagebrush by the soccer field. Can't you hear mom and dad? Naomi, you're going to get your clothes all dirty. What are you doing? But there were swirls in this rock that she found. And the swirls she thought were cool because it reminded her of the swirls on the Moana necklace that she had at home.
Aww.
From the movie. Family took the rock home. They thought, okay, she found a rock. She's a kid. Kid's got a rock.
Yeah.
Big deal, it's a rock. Well, Naomi needed something to pass her time at the soccer game, and digging up rocks seemed like fun. And then her dad saw the rock, and her dad thought, you know, I got a guy. Someone who knew someone who knew someone. Eventually got to Greg Radelak, director of paleontological collections at the University of Oregon's Museum of Natural and Cultural History, and said, what you have here, my friend, is an ammonite fossil. Ammonite fossils can fetch between $40,000 and $50,000.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Looks like pretty good payday. That's cool. For the dirty clothes.
No kidding.
And she now says she wants to be a geologist, but she's having trouble pronouncing it.
Oh, that's cute.
Not bad. So let your kids dig in the dirt.
Right. Yeah, that's a year of college.
Right?
Maybe. Maybe.
Come on.
A semester.
We need a break before the headlines. Yes. All right. We'll come back in just a moment. Bill Geiger's going to join us after the headlines. If you got a question about retirement, you know, general in nature, we can't fix your whole world over the phone. We'll give that to Bill as well. So any questions you might have at 312-981-7200. Back with the headlines from Andrea next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You superstitious about your retirement? Well, you don't have to be. You let the pilot fly the plane. You probably go somewhere to get your oil changed. Oh, I got to do that, by the way. Because I don't do that on my own. You have experts all over. You don't do your own surgery. You have experts for everything. Why wouldn't you want to have an expert on retirement? One of the best there is, period.
That's right.
Bill Geiger's here. Good morning, Mr. Geiger.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. Congratulations on your move.
Thank you very much.
Dave and Andrea and Mary and Steve all wanted to come over and unpack for you.
Well, I think that'd be lovely.
Customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. We will.
Yes, I'm tied up, but you guys, good luck to
be
you.
Be right over.
We'll get some listener questions in a second. Obviously, staff questions, too, if they like. But how's things at Geiger Wealth Management?
Things are very good. You know, Steve, the longer I do this, the more everything kind of stays the same in some senses. You know, we focus on folks in their late 50s, early 60s, preparing for retirement. And the biggest challenge that we see week in, month in, year out, is people are wondering about how do they approach retirement without having a big loss in their portfolio.
Yep.
They still want growth. But the really big challenge and is how do they pay their bills for the next 20, 25, 30 years after they stop working.
Right. So you don't get in a position where you can't fund your life anymore.
Yeah. I had a couple in yesterday, and they asked, well, actually, it was the wife that asked, you know, how am I going to pay my bills when my husband stops working? There's no more money coming into the household. And a lot of people haven't focused on that yet. And that is an integral part of preparing for retirement.
Don't most people have money in different accounts and things that maybe they've even forgotten about? I'm not talking about millions of dollars. But I would assume part of the job when they sit down with you is finding where the money is.
Yeah, organizing it, perhaps consolidating it, making their life a little bit simpler. One of the things that we do for clients is we do a complete analysis of their portfolio. And just pulling the pieces together, Steve, is educational. And when they get to see their whole portfolio put together and what the risk is on it and what potential growth and income and the cost, it's really quite interesting.
Your favorite type of person that comes in is whom? Somebody that's prepared, somebody that's unprepared, or neither?
The favorite folks that we love to see come in are couples, late 50s, early 60s, $500,000 or up, and are really trying to figure out how to do this retirement thing. What could they be doing better? What should they be focusing on? How should their portfolio look?
Do you see both the controlling husband or the controlling wife?
Wives are never controlling.
Oh, is that right?
They just give advice.
That's interesting, that's because true. I would think sometimes you would have a guy that just goes, yes, dear.
Yeah, we do.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. All right, a couple of things. Everybody wants to know how much. What's the magic number? There's no way to know, is there?
Well, I'll tell you how much is the magic number. When you can take a part of your portfolio and together with your Social Security, if you can create more income than what you're going to need on a monthly basis, that's when you know you're there. That income makes the world go round in retirement. If you've got more coming in than what's going out, you throw that into a bank account.
Right.
And when you want to go on vacation, you want to spoil a grandchild, you want to remodel the house, that's where you take the money out of, because sure, you know how it's going to be replaced.
Sure.
Buy a nice gift for a coworker.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, Bill tips well for his movers.
Uh-huh.
And his unpackers.
Yeah, I know.
The current market's kind of wacky, right? It goes up to 26,000, 27,000. It's down to 24,000. Facebook continues to affect it. So tidying up what you have quickly is a good idea?
Well, if you're getting close to retirement, late 50s, early 60s, and we're at the absolute record highs in the indices, it's probably a good time to do some serious planning. It's far better than after a big correction. Let's just put it that way.
Right. And don't leave it to others to do it for you.
No.
Be a part of the decision.
You got to be part of it. You need to understand. You don't have to get down in the weeds, but you really should understand. You should have a helicopter view of how you're going to go through retirement. How are you going to keep from having big losses, and how are you going to pay your bills?
Now, I'm officially in my late 50s. I'm 57. Mm-hmm. Andrea's 12.
Mm-hmm.
But from your perspective, you're going to be working longer than I am.
Right.
Because I'll be fired and you'll still be around.
No.
But what sort of retirement concerns do you have? Do you even think about it at your age?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Ever since we've had these discussions, you know, I think about it. I max out. Can you use your 401k, though, to somehow create income? Say I wanted to be with you and you retire early and I want to spend my days golfing with you and I want to retire early. Can
walking
I still make,
into the sunset. Hand in hand.
Most
me listening to how many people need to apologize to her.
Most 401k plans don't have any tools in them whatsoever to create income. But when you're 59 and a half, and a lot of people don't know this, you can actually, while you're still working, roll the money from your 401k plan into an IRA. Still continue contributing, still continue getting matches. But now that your money's in your IRA, there's a whole lot of things you can do to create the income you're going to need.
Well, that's good.
That's a great strategy.
What about Social Security? People go, do I take it at 62? Do I take it at 65? Is there any new thoughts on that?
Well, there's two answers to that. I'll say, first, there's the MBA answer, and I have an MBA, so I can poke fun at them.
Mm-hmm.
The MBA answer is you do a discounted cash flow to see how long you have to live to a crossover point where it makes more sense. I don't even understand what I just said. Okay. But the real life answer is this. When you're 70 years old, would you prefer a bigger check for the rest of your life or a smaller check? That's tough.
Bigger.
Yes. Okay. So if you don't need it, wait. Don't worry about beating or winning against Social Security. That's not going to happen.
And we don't know what the funding for Social Security is going to be forever.
Anyway. No, we don't.
Right. The major concern that people have for figuring out their life is, I want to have some fun. I want to have some fun. I want to be able to have a vacation. I want to be able to leave something for my kids. I want to be able to go see my grandkids, on and on and on. The magic number is the thing people need to get out of their head, right?
It's not a magic asset size, Steve.
Yeah.
It's a magic amount of income that you have coming in. And again, if you've got more coming in than what's going out, that's kind of magic. The happiest people that ever come into my office, and we rarely see them anymore, the happiest people are people who have a big pension. They know how it's going to work for the rest of their life. And they'll throw their portfolio on my conference room table and say, do something with it. Because they don't really care, because they've tackled the biggest issue. They know how they're going to pay their bills. They got more money coming in than what they actually need. And it's really easy to give yourself permission to do something fun.
All right, I have a magic number question, too. How many times a year or a month should you check your portfolio, your 401k, your returns? And I know we go back and forth on this. When the economy's great, we love to look. When it takes a tank, we like to look.
But you never look when it's up. You only look when it's down.
I know. I broke Orion's rule, too.
Yeah, Orion Samuelson says once a year on his birthday.
Right.
Once a year on his birthday.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a plan laid out and it makes sense conceptually and you're comfortable with it, once a quarter.
Okay, so that's four
times
a quarter.
But the worst time to look is on a bad day.
Yeah.
Wait, you know when everybody else looks? When the market's going up every day, they'll sit down and see how much their 401k made.
Right. Yeah.
And a radio personality here in Chicago told me that a few weeks ago. I won't mention a name.
Right.
And it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Oh. It wasn't this one.
Oh,
nope.
I thought it was
nope.
You.
Nope. So 401ks, IRAs to create money. What about annuities?
Annuities work too. You know, we used to use bonds to create the income in our portfolios. But if you've looked at bond interest rates, 2%, 2.5%. You can put $1 million in a 2.5% bond and get $25,000 a year. That's not exactly lifestyle of the rich and famous. Annuities are, certain types of annuities are really a better bond than a bond these days. They create income, and the asset actually grows throughout your life.
You know, Dave has been embezzling from the company for years. Do you have any issues with embezzling company funds?
Is it nobody knew about this until now?
Well, I don't know, Dave. Did anybody know?
Not till now.
Okay, all right, fine. Yes, it's fine.
Steve, we haven't done this for a while. Let's do something special for the listeners. The first five callers who call in with at least $500,000 in their portfolios, we're going to sit down with them, do a complimentary, full-blown plan for their retirement.
So they'll meet with you.
They'll meet with me. They'll meet with one of my senior staff, but we will sit down with them personally.
And before they leave, they'll have a real idea of what they have and what they don't have.
That's right. And we're going to do this on a complimentary basis.
What's more important, what you have or what you don't have?
What you have.
Yeah, what you have. Right. Yeah. Because what you don't have, you can figure that part out.
You can get it.
That's from Geiger Wealth Management, because what you don't want to do is retire and realize you don't have enough. You know, you don't want to be at that point where you go, well, I can't, or I'm going to, and I'm going to try to figure it out. Figure it out now. Don't wait. This is worth up to $3,000. It's complimentary for the next five callers who've saved $500,000 or more for retirement. Sit down with Bill Geiger and his team, pardon me, and process this easy-to-understand world, I should say difficult-to-understand world, into easy-to-understand steps so that you'll have a roadmap to help you get where you need to be. What's the number there?
800-681-2498.
800-681-2498. It's Geiger Wealth Management. Great to see you.
Good seeing you, sir.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Remember this? Derek and the Dominoes. Layla.
Layla.
Layla, you got me on my knees. Layla, I'm begging you, darling, please. Layla, darling, won't you please be my Layla? I ruin it for you? Last batch of texts have come in. I'm surprised Sister Jean didn't text.
What? Who would need to apologize?
That creep in Knoxville.
Yeah, the guy in Knoxville.
Yeah. The beautiful Sister Jean all over TV this morning. 98 years old, and she will be at court. She sit courtside? Where does she sit?
Just off the court.
Right? Yeah. To watch Loyola and Nevada tonight, 6 o'clock our time?
6:07.
On CBS. If they win tonight, who do they play?
Either Kentucky or Kansas State.
Okay, Kentucky, bunch of cheaters. Kansas State's not cheaters, are they?
No, that's Bruce Weber's team.
Yeah,
we like them.
So we're pulling for Kansas State.
I think Kentucky is going to have a huge following there, being in Atlanta. And being Kentucky, they're going to have a lot of fan support. And one of the things Porter Moser said yesterday was, you know, he sort of suggested to one of the tournament officials after they had that screw up with the bus and the police escort, he said, we're not Kentucky, meaning we're not getting treated like Kentucky's treated.
Good. So. The oldest player on Kentucky's team is 18 by law. As soon as they get beyond 18, they kick them off the team.
Yeah.
It's just freshman after freshman.
Oh, yeah. They keep going through that, yeah.
Last batch of people who say they need an apology. 219, my wife's ex-husband.
My wife's
owes me an apology.
My wife's ex-husband.
Why?
Owes me an apology. It's like your ex-husband. Like if you and I were married, your ex-husband. Owes me an apology.
We need more details.
Which you could take that in a bunch of different ways. Like you should have told me not to marry her.
Got it.
Or you were a jerk to me and you owe me an apology.
That's how I took it.
Well, let's hope that's the way it was meant to be. 630, all your past and present producers owe me an apology for never having given me a Lumel Nottis gift card.
maybe they didn't call in, though.
Joe Sandberg, I hope you two are happy. Ridiculous.
I'm definitely not apologizing, by the way.
See, this is the type of attitude from Joe.
He's too new, though.
Look, Joe's been here 2 weeks. Suddenly, it's nothing but attitude. 847. Everybody owes another person an apology for assuming or saying a rumor about you that is not true. I don't know how you do that. Do you apologize for everything you ever said? I apologize for, you should be around this here, this place in right. show business.
God. Or just the parts that aren't true. Because some things you say that are true.
847, cable TV owes me an apology for telling us that in the beginning that it would be commercial free.
Yeah, true that.
331, the doctor who committed malpractice on my mother.
Oh, oh. That's a big apology.
It's hardcore. 312, my high school boyfriend who called to say he couldn't come home from college 2 days before my prom. Mm.
I'm sure there was a good reason.
2 days before? 847, my former dentist owes me an apology for leaving cotton under my crown.
Ooh. That had to hurt.
Does it hurt or is it just incredibly annoying?
Well, it's like leaving a surgical rag in someone once you...
Okay, that's not good. Okay. Yeah. 630, my ex-mother-in-law for being such a... two words I can't say.
Nice person?
And then blaming everyone else for issues. You know what? It wasn't nice person. That wasn't what she wrote. 847, I need an apology for my older brother for being an a-hole too, just like the other texter. Probably a different brother. Arby's owes me an apology for discontinuing the RBQ.
Oh,
a good RBQ. I really liked it. My kindergarten teacher owes me an apology for making me use my first and middle name because they felt my first name wasn't a real girl's first name.
Oh. I don't think they get to decide that, yeah. do they?
708, apology from my mom when I was accepted to a college. She wanted to know if they'll just take anyone.
That is pretty good.
773, for my neighbor for shooting me in the back with an arrow. I still have a scar 30 years later.
What were they playing?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Is that the junior senator from Kentucky?
I don't
wrote
know.
This? Is that Rand Paul? Remember how Rand Paul's neighbors used to attack him?
Maybe they were playing jarts.
Yeah, that's true. That's possible. And finally, 630, the guy that flipped me off this morning. Dave.
Dave.
No, I...
Oh, yeah, so you say. Back with Bill and Wendy next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here. What are you going to do today?
We are going to talk to a
woman...
Dumbest
question I've ever asked you. What are you going to do today?
We're going to talk to a woman who's written this article about what you do with moody teens, and I have two of them. And a Jimmy Mack.
I don't think I was ever moody.
Never moody, Steve. No. Not even once.
No.
I was terrible to my mom.
How do you know you've changed?
Well, she's no longer with us, but, you know.
I mean, in general, with the mood thing.
Oh, well, that's not nice.
You're not moody.
I'm asking a rhetorical question. I don't know if you're moody or not. You know what you just did? You got moody.
Got moody right before your very eyes.
Well,
Steve,
we'll
I'm curious.
That.
I'm very good friends with Alex DeBrinket, and he and I dreamt up kind of a practical joke to play on you. Did he call you and just keep hanging up during an interview?
He apparently now does everything in threes.
Yeah. I love that, the hat trick of phone calls.
Yeah, so he'll see you and he'll go, hello, hello, hello. Yeah. Everything is now in threes.
Right.
Yes. He eats three meals three times a day.
It's DeBrinket three times.
That's his move. Yeah. See you tomorrow.